Mike, it's great to catch up and hear your voice. How are you?
Good morning. How are you doing?
We're doing well, and we would be remiss if we didn't ask how you have been feeling and what has been on your mind over the last week and a half following the brutal murder of George Floyd.
You know, it's interesting you say that, because there's two things that I fear in this world more than anything else. And one of them is Jesus returning and he telling me, be gone from me, I don't know you, and police. And those are two extremes, but I felt like that my whole life. So when it occurred, the only thing that happened was it was recorded. But even as a kid, I saw police brutality. I saw, you know, police, if your parent wanted to get you straight, they'll tell you, I'm calling the police on you. And you're like, please, 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 don't call the police on me. I don't want the police. So even as a youth, we've learned to be afraid of the police. We've learned to stay away from them. We learn to keep the sirens off you. And when they're on you, try not to get more sirens on you. Make sure you get them sirens to turn off on you. And so I've learned how to deal with this. So even though this was a death, you know, that happened and was recorded, and the world, you know, responded to it, and that was a beautiful thing, you know, for people to be awakened to racism. But at the same time, when you lived in that environment your whole life, you know, you think about the people that was burned before you. You think about the people that was, you know, not just his life, but what about all the people that was martyred and murdered and killed on the and crucified and all the stuff that they've done in the past. So you can't really look at just this one and just think about it. It's just finally, you know, the world is aware of what's been going on.
Yes, and to take it back even further, taken from their homelands and home countries centuries ago and brought over this way and then enslaved and forced to work. I mean, that is the systemic foundational history of this continent, and it's important to remember that.
You know, I've always looked at the police. I always looked at an officer as an overseer, you know, and it went from patrolling and governing us when we was in the fields picking and, you know, whipping us and beating us from that point to now you still have control and authority over us in a form of a badge. And you get to take advantage of that any opportunity you get. So the hate never changed. It just went from you know, cloths over your head, and rallying that way, to, you know, it being in the court system. You got to remember, from even in the past when they used to rally in the KKK, and it would be about 50, 100 KKK in your front yard burning crosses and telling you to get out of here. Guess what? That next morning when they went to work, it was the KKK that night that nobody got to see, that had the cloths over their head. They were the DAs. They were the judges. They were the police officers. They were the one with the government jobs, not only striking fear in you physically, but now they're able to strike fear in you through the law. So it hasn't changed. It's the same thing. So there are now people that Aryan Nation, these brotherhoods and the supremacists, they're the ones with the government jobs, and they're the ones that's going to enact and enforce the laws on us. So it hasn't changed. They just got smart and went to government jobs.
Mike James, former Raptors, our guest. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan. And Mike, correct any misinformation I have in front of me about you, but what I see is that you have four daughters, the oldest of whom has or will turn 20 this year, and the youngest of whom has or will turn 13 this year. So you've got four daughters. What kind of conversations did you have with them as they grew up or as they are growing up about all of this? Because I've talked to other African-American people who, and in fact, we had Justin Renfro, a football player up in the CFL now, but who had played for some NFL teams, who talked about being a young boy and having that talk, his father approaching him to have the quote talk. there's a way you've got to handle certain situations because you will have to deal with them at some point. What kind of conversations have you had with your daughters?
You know, one of the hardest conversations I think I had with my daughter is she lost, you know, and she deserved to win, but, you know, it was up to the judges, and she lost in a competition to a white girl. And she was sad, and she was heartbroken, like, you know, I deserve the win, that wasn't fair. And this was probably one of the hardest conversations I had to have with her, but I had to explain to her, let me explain something to you. As a black in America, if you want to be successful, you have to be 10 times better than your counterpart. You have to be 10 times better than the other nationalities. I said, you can't be equal to them. If you're equal to them, well, then you better be prepared to lose. Being equal is just as it puts you in a position to basically say you're giving yourself a chance to fail. And the only way that you're going to succeed is if you're 10 times better. So you can't just be good. You have to be great. And if you're not great, it's not their fault for not picking you. It's your fault for not understanding that and not seeing that and focusing on trying to be the best version of yourself every single day. And when you're dealing with, even when you're dealing with the police, you don't have to deal with the police like everyone else, yelling and screaming and knowing your rights. You yes, sir. You no, sir. You get those lights off you as fast as possible. And if anybody is being disruptive around you, you've got to explain to them, listen, not on my watch. You do that when you by yourself, but when you with me, we trying to get out of this situation. We're not trying to be another body.
Mike James, former Raptor, is our guest. This is Leadoff, Sportsnet 590, The Fan.
NBA just came out with a proposal for a 22-team, resuming the regular season and playoffs. And they're talking about 9 teams in the East, 13 in the West, 8 regular season games, and 8-9 if they're 4 games back. Are you happy with what the league's kind of proposing right now in this return to play format?
I mean, everybody wants their sports. And, you know, the people that are missing out, we as a nation got to realize how important sports are to us by, you know, all the sports being stopped. And it's like, wow, we have really nothing to entertain us but the Kardashians. Like, are you kidding me right now? And so as a fan, of course you want to see, you know, your favorite players and your favorite team back on the basketball court, especially when they didn't give you a full season and you didn't get an opportunity to start the season with your team 0-0, believing that this is the year they're going to make the playoffs. And then all of a sudden, you know, it just so happens to just stop so suddenly. And so for it to be restarted is good for the fans, it's good for the league and the revenue streams and, you know, the television. But the danger that scares me is these last 2 months, these guys really haven't, you know, they've probably been doing minimal. They probably just been doing more quarantining, more whatever they've been doing, but they haven't really been playing and training. And now to put your body, it's almost like you put your body through all that extreme training and all that extreme work, and then you stop suddenly and abruptly. And then you got to restart. Now you got to, it's almost like it's training camp now. Now guys need to be only playing about, you know, 10 minutes, 15 minutes, getting ready for training camp, get their legs back underneath them to get back ready for the regular season. But no, there is no training camp. You're going right back into the regular season and then the playoffs, which is the most extreme that's going to take on your body and mind is the most, that's the most extreme time is during the playoffs, but your body really ain't prepared for playoff style basketball. My only fear is, it might be more injuries than we expect because, you know, we're not robots and the body has to get used to the training and the vigorous running up and down every day consistently again. I just think that the biggest issue is it's going to be some injuries to people that if this league would have consistently been going on, it wouldn't have happened to them. But because their body slowed down, that's the biggest danger is the injuries that might occur.
Were you a little bit surprised they're only going to take 9 teams out of the East and they're taking more out of the West? Like, I don't understand why Charlotte, Chicago is not you know, involved in the return to play? Because, or do you not think that some of these players and some of these teams have voted the saying, hey, we don't have a shot at winning this year. We don't even want to come back and run through a training camp and eight games where we're probably not even going to win.
You know, I mean, that's not, and that's the problem also is, you know, what about those teams that are right on the bubble, the 9-10 teams that they're one and a half game or half a game out of the, you know, the eighth spot. Like, that's not fair in itself because, you know, maybe they went on a five-game run. And also, maybe that that eighth seed will probably have an opportunity to play against a one seed, and the superstar on the one seed get hurt. Now, guess what? The eighth seed is in the conference finals playing for the – so anything can happen in this situation. It's a fresh start. Everybody's rhythm is gone. Nobody has a rhythm. They got to, everybody has to regain their rhythm, and they got to figure out how to play this game of basketball at the highest elite level all over again. And I think that, you know, anybody can win a championship now because nobody really has a rhythm.